Julie Burstein. I'm here today for Leonard Lopate. If you've ever spent any time in a hospital, you've met a lot of interns, the first-year medical residents just out of med school, who are learning the ropes of being a doctor, often on you if you're the patient. Dr. Sandeep Jauhar has written a book about his own experience called Intern, A Doctor's Initiation, and it's published by Farrar, Straus & Giroux. Dr. Jauhar is director of the Heart Failure Program at Long Island Jewish Medical Center, and I'm pleased to welcome him to the Leonard Lopate Show. Hello.
Thank you.
Now, your subtitle is A Doctor's Initiation, and that immediately raises images of hazing and religious ritual. Was that intentional?
Yes. I mean, you know, the reason why I wanted to write about internship is because it is such a dramatic time in a doctor's life, and it does introduce a doctor, a medical student, to the profession. And it's really a time of firsts. You know, it's your first on-call night, your first prescription, and your first death. So you really do experience sort of the most seminal, defining moments of your career during that year. And so, yes, I mean, it is an initiation of sorts.
Does the preparation you get in med school allow you to go through these firsts easily? Or, you know, you can read about it in books, but when you actually experience it, it's an entirely different thing.
I think it's an entirely different thing. You know, when you're in medical school, you're sort of ingrained to respect the profession, and you learn about the profession mostly through books. So it's presented to you as a complete science, and then you go into internship and you realize how different it really is. That medicine is a very uncertain field. That doctors are very fallible. So it's very different. And I think also in medical school, there's a sort of etiquette that builds up about not questioning your superiors, your attending physicians, the profession, your commitment to the profession. But then internship sort of breaks all that down because you're so miserable and fatigued, and you start asking questions. Like, you know, one of my first patients was a man who used to swallow food into his lungs. So the usual treatment for that is to put in a feeding tube. But this is a man who so enjoyed the taste of food that he refused the feeding tube.
Even though it might mean that he could die.
Even though it exactly. So he preferred to eat with a very, you know, even with the very high likelihood that he would die of an aspiration pneumonia, rather than accept the feeding tube. So these are questions that come up during internship. You don't really, you know, they're so new that they really force you to examine sort of some of the fundamental assumptions that you make about medical care. As you go on in your career and you see this more and more, some of the questions sort of fall by the wayside. But initially, when you're there and you start in internship, they're all very fresh. So I think internship is really the best time to, you know, if you're inclined to write, to start writing about medicine.
You came to medicine after pursuing a career in hard science and physics. And you talked a little bit just a moment ago about medical school sort of presenting medicine as a science. Did you find, having come from another scientific field, that you began to question even earlier than your internship? Or did you go through medical school really accepting the wisdom that was given to you?
Well, I probably questioned a little bit more because, you know, in graduate school, you're taught to question. I mean, and when you do original research, one of the elements of the training is to question what other people have done and to really apply a critical eye. So I would say in that respect, yes, I probably was asking questions and questioning things earlier. But medical school was, you know, presented its own completely different set of challenges. Really on a practical level, just the sheer volume of memorization that was required, I just wasn't prepared for that. In physics, you could always sort of look things up, and exams were open book, and it was more about applying the concepts and seeing the big picture. And in medicine, it was really about, you know, knowing all the specifics. So it was different. But yeah, I would say that the scientific training did give me a bit of a more of an impetus to critically examine things.
You also said a moment ago that part of what happens during the year of internship is you're so miserable that all of these things, in a sense, take in a different way than when you're in medical school. Do you feel that misery of overwork and being asked to do things that you may not be prepared for is an essential part of learning and growing as a doctor?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think that the misery per se is not essential, but I think that the long hours to some degree are. Remember, you know, when you graduate from medical school, you have 3 years of apprenticeship at a teaching hospital before you go out into practice, for the most part, at least in my field. So you really have to see a lot in that 3 years. So on the one hand, you know, it's just striking a balance between, sort of exposing freshly minted interns to a lot of experiences, but not overwhelming them to the point where patients are put at risk. And it's not clear exactly where to draw the line, and it probably differs for different individuals. So, in one sense, it's very important to be able to see a patient, for example, in shock, and follow the arc of their illness. And I did that as an intern, and I'll never forget it. And now, you know, I feel fairly well equipped to treat some of the conditions that I, some of the diseases that I witnessed, the sort of arc of while I was an intern. But again, the paradigm of one doctor, one patient has fallen by the wayside, as it should have. We can't have, one doctor who sort of knows a patient in the hospital all the time. So the key is to give that doctor a break, to not, overwhelm them. But and when you have physicians coming on to cross-cover, to give them enough information so that they can adequately take care of the patient.
I'm speaking to Sandeep Jauhar. He has written a book called Intern, A Doctor's Initiation. It's published by Farrar, Straus, and Giroux. You know, you talk about that one doctor, one patient. A few years ago, I had the rather harrowing experience of having my son in the hospital for 3 weeks. He was 7 years old. And that one doctor, one patient, as a patient, is really... You look towards that, because I remember the first night we were in the hospital, his doctor prescribed medication, and then his doctor left for 3 days, and the new doctor who came in said, we're going to double that medication. And for me as a parent, it was like, but his first doctor said this much, and he said, I'm the doctor now. Yes. And I realized very quickly that I needed to be my own son's advocate and ask as many questions as I could. And part of it was, even though these were wonderful doctors and incredibly caring, it was this system that there was very little continuity, except probably for me and a chart.
That's really so true. And what you say about family members being advocates for patients is so essential. You know, when I was an intern, I was on night float, and night float is when you cover the patients of other interns who go home to sleep.
And you write about how you had 80 patients.
And on one particular night, I had 80 patients. One of the patients had intractable hiccups. So,
which sounds to us as, oh, that's kind of
yeah. It sounds
amusing,
benign, but at the hospital I was at, a very prominent cancer hospital, nothing was benign. And so this patient had been having intractable hiccups for over 24 hours. I mean, he was so miserable he couldn't sleep. It was horrendous. So I asked one of the nurses, well, what do you give to treat hiccups? At the time, I didn't know how to treat hiccups or, frankly, even what caused hiccups. So the nurse mentioned a drug. I wrote a prescription, wrote an order for it. And then I sort of was casually leafing through the chart, and I noticed that this patient had had a severe reaction to this particular medication. And it just by, you know, sort of happenstance, I had noticed this in the chart. So I think the key for physicians who are covering a large number of patients, you obviously have to have such a system because, you know, the one doctor, one patient paradigm doesn't work.
Because nobody can be there 24/7.
No one can be, and we know from a lot of data from many different fields, from airplane flying to anesthesiology, that people can't function well when they haven't had any sleep. So we clearly have to have covering physicians, but the key is to have an information system in place that communicates to the covering physician that a patient has a particular allergy. So not to just sort of rely on other physicians who are rushing to get out of the hospital to communicate all that essential information. It's really impossible.
So tracking things in terms of writing and things like that is an essential piece of what you do as a doctor.
That's right. But at the same time, I think that a lot of hospitals today have realized that we need to have an electronic medical record system so that this data is available to doctors. You know, one of the nights I was on night float, I went to visit a patient who had colon cancer, and he was bleeding again. And his wife started asking me questions about the results of his recent CAT scan, when the doctors were going to do radiation therapy again, what was the last hemoglobin. She's asking me all these questions, all rightfully. She wanted to know the answers, but I didn't have any of the answers for her. And I felt like a fraud, frankly. And all that information was in the mind of his sleeping resident. So I think that that information should have been there for me, and I think that's the key. I think it's a false choice to say, is it better to be taken care of by a fatigued resident who knows you or a rested resident who doesn't? It's better to be taken care of by a rested resident who has the information to take care of you.
In your book, you write about the very tough first year of residency, of internship, and as the reader reads, you can see that you're falling into a serious depression then. Is depression something that that you recognized while you were in it? Did you know that you were depressed, or did it take you a long time to realize this is what's happening to me?
Fortunately, I had enough insight to know that I was falling into a depression. A lot of students don't, and you know, this is a big problem in the field. I wouldn't say that suicide among medical students is a huge problem in terms of numbers, but it certainly happens every year.
It touched you in that your best friend committed suicide.
Yeah, my best friend from medical school committed suicide during his fourth year of medical school. I was an intern at the time, and it really impacted on me. He was one of the most liked, best equipped, smartest students in our class. He was on his way to getting an internship at one of the best pediatric hospitals in the country, and for whatever reason, he sank into a very deep depression, started questioning his own competence. And as doctors and as medical students, we're not really encouraged to do that, and we're also our own worst critics very often. So it was too much for him to bear.
Do you see any change in that system now that you're a doctor and you're working in a hospital? Is there any more support for med students and interns than you and your friend had when you were at that point?
Yes, I think so. I mean, even when I was going through orientation at New York Hospital, there was a psychologist came to orientation and said that confidential counseling was available. So I think hospitals recognize that students, interns are under a lot of pressure. So I think things have changed. But
is there sort of a macho-ness though of okay, I can handle this pressure myself?
There is a little bit of that on the wards. One thing I realized very early on in my internship was that there was a sort of a sense of that not asking for help was a sign of strength, and when you're an intern, nothing was better than to be considered strong. So, you know, early on in my internship, I called a resident for help doing a spinal tap, and she wasn't too happy about the fact that I hadn't taken care of this problem before coming on duty.
So you learned quickly not to call for help.
And I learned quickly at that time not to call for help. Now, that was just me, but I think that, you know, a lot of interns are not aware of what constitutes a problem where you need to call a senior and what's something that you should be able to handle on your own.
No, we just have a minute, but now that you are working in a hospital, do you interact with the interns with compassion because of what you went through, or do you find that you have you know, you're at a different stage now?
Well, I'm definitely at a different stage now, but I love working with interns and residents. I really do, because they force you to re-examine some of the fundamental assumptions. You know, as you go on in medicine, you become very accepting of the culture, and to some degree, that's happened to me. I don't have the same sort of questioning spirit that perhaps I had, you know, a decade ago. And so when you work with interns and they ask questions like, well, why are we putting in that feeding tube, for example? And then you realize, well, you know, I used to ask those questions such a long time ago, and boy, I've changed. But it's that, you know, seeing that sort of naive spirit, it's really wonderful. I love working with them.
Dr. Johar, thank you so much for joining me today
in
the Leonard Lopate Show. Dr. Sandeep Johar is the author of Intern, A Doctor's Initiation. It's published by Farrar, Straus and Giroux, and he will be giving a talk and signing books tonight at 7 o'clock at the Barnes & Noble in Manhasset on Northern Boulevard.